European Chemicals Desk for B of A ML. I'm very pleased to present our next speaker today, Limor Grubor, Head of Investor Relations at ICL. So without further ado, I'll go ahead and hand it over.
Thank you, Stephanie. Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. First, I apologize that our CEO in the last minute could not attend, but I hope I will be able to fill in for him. So if you can quickly review this or later in the printed presentations, we're going to have some forward-looking statements, so it's important. So this is our vision. Our products fulfill essential needs. Our bulk and specialty fertilizer contribute to agriculture productivity and to nutrition security in emerging markets. Our food additives contribute to to more appealing mouthfeel and longer shelf life while maintaining and improving the nutritional value of the food. And our industrial additives contribute to better production, better products, more environmentally friendly and safer products. Our operation have to evolve and change in order to fulfill these needs. We have the asset base to do it, we have the know-how, and we have the drive to grow. So what is ICL? What is our business model? We don't fit maybe the usual boxes that you may know. We're not just a mining company. We have resources around the world, but we're not just that. And we're not just a specialty chemicals company. We are a value chain management company, starting from our specialty minerals all the way down to the downstream product. Quick example, our phosphate operation. If you look at the phosphate industry in general, 80% of the rock is used in this value chain, the commodity value chain. However, for ICL, only 30% of the rock that we're producing is used for that. The rest is used for downstream products like specialty fertilizer, phosphate-based food additives, advanced additives for, based on phosphorus for different applications. In the bromine, if we want another example, the bromine is basically a byproduct of the potash production at the Dead Sea. From the end brines, after we extract the carnelite, these end brines are very concentrated in bromine, maybe 10 to 50% times higher than other resources around the world. And this, of course, gives us the strong position, cost position, and the leadership in this industry. Our focus is to grow our specialty business, and the specialty business is expected to grow faster than the commodity business. As a result, looking 5 years down the road, our target is to improve the balance between our specialty and commodity business, so it will be more or less equal versus third from the specialty today. Our asset base, we have different advantages in each of our assets. The Dead Sea, this is our biggest asset. We have bromine, we have potash, of course, there, and we have magnesium. The advantage of the Dead Sea, of course, is the hot and dry weather, which allow us to produce potash, the raw material for the potash, through solar evaporation ponds, and this is a great saving in energy. And also the geographical location, which gives us logistical advantages. We're very close to the port in Israel, to the two main ports in Israel, so land transportation costs are low. And the port of Eilat, for example, is very close to the Asian market, very fast time to market. The port of Ashdod has favorable shipment costs to the Americas because of the global shipment route. The hot and dry weather also enable us to accumulate inventories at the open air, at the Dead Sea, without any cost and to a level that could even be more than 1 year of production. This allows us not to interrupt the production, even in periods where demand is weak. And when demand is coming back, of course, we can react very quickly. In the last year and a half, we have implemented an extensive efficiency and operational excellence plan at the Dead Sea. We had a long strike during the first two quarters of 2015, but following that, and you can see that easily from our Q4 report, we were able to significantly reduce cost and also increase production by 10%, even though we reduced labor by 10%. Our European operation, these are higher cost operations. There we also have logistical advantage because both of the mines that we have in Europe are very close to the ports. ICL Iberia, 50 kilometers from the port of Barcelona. ICL UK, 30 kilometers from the ports of Teesside in the northern UK. In ICL Iberia, we are going through a consolidation and restructuring project from two mines and two processing facilities into one mine and one processing facility. This will significantly reduce our fixed cost, of course. And we're doing small bottlenecking of about 300,000 tons or 30%, which will eventually, these two projects will reduce the cost per ton by 40 euros between 2014 and 2020. The UK mine, this is an old mine. Its reserves are depleting, and this mine will be completely transformed into polysulfate mine by 2018. I will talk about it a little bit later. Our phosphate operation, our main location, we have three open pit mines in the Negev Desert in Israel. The phosphate are in the center of our strategy to grow our specialty business, as I explained earlier. Here also, we've been through an efficiency program already starting in the beginning of 2014. We managed to reduce labor by 10%, at the same time increase production of green phosphoric acid by 15%, and this, of course, led this business from more or less break even to mid the teens EBIT margins. And the new member in our family, the YPH JV in China, this is in the core of our strategy because first it secures our long-term resources, but we plan to duplicate the business model that we have in Israel towards the specialty into these operations, which today are 90% commodity. So our commodity business, of course, serves the agriculture market through ICL fertilizer, and we have the potash and the phosphate fertilizer businesses. Here you see our targets for the fertilizer business. So if you look at the potash in 2015, we had a significant decrease in sales because of the strike. It would be challenging to reach our targets for 2016 because the year started so weak. But in general, we expect to be more or less flat on the sales side because we're ceasing the production in the UK. We're somewhat increasing at the Dead Sea and in Spain. I have to say, these are targets and not guidance, and that's why we used just a flat potash price versus Q4 2015 potash price. What we want to emphasize is that we are growing our operating income mainly through efficiencies. The growth in the phosphate business will mainly come from our joint venture in China, which I will talk about in a minute. Our specialty businesses serve our three core markets, the agriculture, the engineered materials, and the food market. We have a specialty fertilizer business. We're one of the biggest specialty fertilizer companies around the world with the broadest portfolio. We have controlled release fertilizer, slow release fertilizer, soluble fertilizers. Our engineered material market is served by our industrial product segment through the flame retardant business and the industrial solution, which is all the rest of the bromine compounds, which are not flame retardant, and also part by the advanced additives business of our performance product segment, which is phosphorus-based compounds for different industrial applications. And finally, the food market is served through our food specialty business. These are mainly food additives based on phosphorus for texture and stability solutions. So how do we plan to transform this joint venture in China? Mainly it's from shifting from 90% commodity and 10% specialty to 50% commodity and 50% specialty by growing all these three different markets. It's also important to say that there are a lot of efficiency measures that can be implemented there, especially in the production of phosphoric acid. The specialty fertilizer business, the growth in this business is driven by regulatory changes. As you see here, the zero growth, zero nutrient use growth in China, for example, but also improved agricultural practices and, in general, greener approach. These trends lead, of course, to or require a more efficient use of fertilizer, and specialty fertilizer are the products that answer these needs. We plan to grow faster than the market, and it comes mainly from the strategic initiatives that you see here. Innovation, of course, for example, a new coating technology, which is better in terms of releasing the material when the plant needs them, and also more cost-effective for the farmer. It's geographical expansion, building plants near the demand areas. Of course, our joint venture in China will help that as well. The polysulfate is a mineral which we have discovered a few years ago under the potash seam at ICL UK. This is very special mineral because, first of all, it's a compound. It's 50% sulfur, 14% K2O, and 36% calcium and magnesium. Now, why is it so special? This is a completely natural fertilizer. There's no chemical processing. You mine it, you crush it, and you can sell it for direct application and for blending. And as a result, this is a very cost-effective solution for soil, for sulfur-depleted soils in different areas. And we see this problem growing in the Western world, but also in China, and we have demand from the U.S., from Brazil, from Asia for this product. We managed to triple sales of this product in 2015 versus 2014. We target a double increase. We target to double the sales in 2016 and to reach 1 million tons by 2020. This product is actually the future of the business at ICL UK, because as I said, we're going to completely transform from the potash, which today we produce 600,000 tons of potash in this business, to polysulfate by 2018. When we will finish this transformation, there is a huge contribution both to mainly to operating income, of course, and to operating margins. We are already starting to restructure. We will reduce labor by 350 employees in the first quarter of 2016. It will enable us to maintain the cost per ton stable, even though we are reducing the production in the UK in 2016 versus 2015. So our industrial solutions, our advanced additives, all our solutions for different industries are in the industrial product segment and the advanced additives business of the performance product segment. Here, in the industrial products, it's mainly optimizing pricing, meaning value-oriented marketing approach, but also cost reduction. We also had in our bromine operation in Israel a long strike in the first half of 2015, but we were able to reduce costs already by $10 million in the second half of 2015, and we expect additional $15 million in 2016. This cost reduction will now expand to other areas where we have plans in this segment. The growth in this segment in the short term will be relatively limited. We expect more or less stable demand in the bromine market. But what is there, in addition to the pricing initiatives, there is also shift in mix, moving to the next generation of flame retardant, which are more environmentally friendly. And these markets are much less competitive. Basically, there are no Chinese players there. And, of course, prices are better and margins are better. We are also investing in advocacy, in educating our customers on the contribution of flame retardant and how to manage the risk in flame retardant. Sometimes we find that there are flame retardants that are too risky, and we take them out and bring new products instead of them. We're educating our customers so they will educate their customers. Another part of the advocacy is promoting mercury emission control regulation in outside of the U.S. We start in Europe. Why do we start in Europe? It's not just such a big market for coal power plants, but apparently the Chinese are looking up to the Europeans in their environmental regulation. And China is a huge market for this business. It's probably three times higher than the U.S. For the longer term, if we will be successful in our R&D efforts to develop new application, then we will be able to see mid-single-digit growth in this business. The strategy of our food business, we continue to implement it in order to become a recognized, fully integrated provider of texture and stability solutions, meaning mouthfeel and shelf life. Now, we have a lot of experience in this business, but we realize that there is a very good interaction between these phosphate-based additives and proteins. In a way that the proteins give the nutritional value and the phosphate make sure that there is still a good mouthfeel and longer shelf life. In the beginning of 2015, we bought a company that produces whey proteins, and the integration surpassed our expectations. Their sales with the cross-selling synergies grew by almost 30% in 2015, and we see good traction to the combination of these businesses. We have, for the first time ever, not just us, globally, we were able to produce sports drink, high protein content sports drink that is completely clear. And there are very good solutions also for the vegetarian and meatless products. These are our targets for the specialty business. In general, you can see that the top line growth range is between 3 to 10%, except the polysulfate, which is only beginning, therefore it grows much faster, and industrial solution, which we expect would be stable, mainly because of the reduction in demand we expect in the clear brine fluids market. The operating income is growing faster, mainly due to efficiencies, but also, of course, economies of scale. Specifically, you can see that the flame retardant business is growing much faster than the sales. This is the prices, of course, and the cost reduction, and, you know, starting from a very low base. Finally, our cost reduction initiatives, I talked about it a lot throughout the presentation. This slide does summarize this. So in 2015, we were able to achieve better savings than what we expected initially by $35 million. We expect additional $75 to $100 million in 2016. In 2014 and 15, we mainly concentrated on the operational excellence and the labor reduction side. In 2016, we will put more focus on the procurement. It's just that we had to build a procurement organization. And it doesn't stop here. There are more things that we can do, especially I've talked about England. We don't see yet the contribution of moving to polysulfate and stopping the potash production in 2018, the consolidation and the debottlenecking that we're doing in Spain. We hope that we will surpass the targets for 2018 as well. You can see the cost reduction very clearly from our results, especially in the potash. You can see it also in the margins for the bromine, for the industrial products segment in Q4. But in the potash, the index here is calculated very easily. We just took the full cost that you can see in our report, just total revenues minus the operating profit, the full cost divided by the total volume. And you clearly see this reduction in the cost per ton. In the green phosphoric acid, this we had to calculate for you. But again, as I said, this business went from break even, specifically the Israeli operation went from break even to mid-teens EBIT margins. This summarizes the attractive investment case that ICL has, everything that I've discussed so far, and I think we can now move to questions.
Okay, perhaps I'll take off.
Yeah.
In terms of underlying demand, ICL ships a large portion of its glass to both India and China. We heard quite recently that India is moving to halt imports of glass. Can you perhaps give us a sense of how you see 2016 demand picking up in those two markets?
So 2016 started in a very challenging way, I would say. China also will probably not come back until maybe a couple of months from now. India, the same. We have the flexibility to accumulate inventory, and this is what we'll do. 2016 in general, as we see it, could be lower than 2015. There are some wild cards, because if the monsoon in India will be good, we could see them grow versus 2015. In China, it's hard to see growth. Brazil will probably be stable, but if, again, the credit availability will continue to improve as it started the year, we could see them maybe surprising. Europe is stable. The U.S. maybe can grow a little bit. All in all, 2016 will be probably slightly weaker than 2015.
And I guess.
And this is from shipments perspective, because I think that if you look at underlying demand, actual farmers' use, you see a relatively stable growth of 2-3% per year. It's all about inventory management.
And then on the supply side, we've also heard from a number of your peers about capacity rationalization in the current weak markets. What's ICL's view on that? Would you consider, rationalizing your capacity if there was a protracted period of market weakness?
Well, we are rationalizing our capacity by accumulating inventory. We are not selling if we think prices are not sufficient, and we will not sell if there is no demand. And you will see that in the first quarter, you will see this inventory accumulation. It's just that we prefer not to interrupt the production at the Dead Sea and also the production in our mines in Europe and accumulate these inventories.
And then you touched upon the polysulfate production. What is your sense in terms of whether that polysulfate could be a substitution perhaps for SOP in the future?
It can be in certain cases, mainly when you do blending, you can use polysulfate instead. And, if it's attractive enough from a price perspective, then it's possible. We still think, looking at the polysulfate, this is a niche market. We plan to get to 1 million ton in 2020, but, the potential is up to 3 million tons. It's not, it will not reach the SOP level.
Maybe just, maybe I'm looking at the wrong slide and the wrong presentation on your slide, but just on the potash full cost per ton, you're showing as a percentage decline, but can you give us a number?
No, this is a very sensitive commercial number.
Yeah.
But this number actually it's very simple. You can just calculate. It was 100. If you have our report, you can calculate it. It was $190 per ton, an average for the company in the fourth quarter of 2015. Specifically for each site, we prefer to keep it for ourselves.
Another question I've been getting recently on the industrial product side is whether the price increases that we've seen, particularly in Asia, are sustainable. What's your view on that?
So, a lot of it is up to us, and we want to maintain it. And this is why we think this is something that can be done. We do expect this is a seasonal effect. We do expect some moderation in elemental bromine prices in China, as we enter the summer months. It's just that the local production increases during this season, but still it will be significantly higher than the prices of the summer of 2015. Today, prices are about 50% higher than the winter of 2015. So as long as we are very strict with our strategy, we think that this is sustainable.
And then perhaps moving on to capital allocation and sort of looking around for new projects. You obviously had the issues around the tax reforms in Israel in 2015. How do you think now about capital allocation sort of in Israel versus worldwide? Would you prefer to do more outside the region?
Yes, so we already see our growth plans are concentrated outside of Israel. Israel's share of the capex will go down during the next 5 years. And this is, you know, not just because of specifically the tax situation, but in general, it's easier to do business in other markets than in Israel, unfortunately, but that's the situation.
And sort of buy versus build, do you have?
Well, first of all, today, you know, neither buy nor build, at least in the commodity part of the business, in the potash part of the business. Now, in the specialty businesses, yes, there may be bolt-on acquisitions in the protein part of the business or other additives that are complementary to the phosphate additive. In the specialty fertilizer, there aren't many targets, and there we prefer to build plants and invest in marketing organization and agronomists in emerging markets. You know, we have a potential new potash resource, which we'll have to see what would be the decision on it. And in the phosphate, we secured our resources for the next decade with our Chinese joint venture. And now we have to take this business into the next level.
And then just on SOP, where we've actually seen pretty strong prices over the course of 2016 and the premiums actually being increasing sequentially. What is your sense in terms of the price trajectory for SOP going forward?
So the SOP is tight. We don't see a significant change in this supply-demand balance. There aren't many players. There is not much increase in capacity. It seems like this premium could continue.
But is there a level that you think the premium should reasonably be at? So when you think about investment decisions, et cetera, you think that there's an average premium level?
I think the premium today is probably a little bit too high. It used to be around $100 per ton. I also think that, potash prices today are probably below their sustainable level. The premium can close from different directions.
Just to sort of explore that a bit further, what do you mean by the sustainable level?
Well,
what do you think about the long-term price?
$250 per ton potash price. If you think, longer term, what is the sustainable price that also takes into account the fact that there are maintenance investments and eventually you have to take into account the capex to maintain the business, it's very tight. And we're already starting to see operations that are not economical in these prices.
And then just to circle back on the phosphate JV in China, when can we expect to see that in your bottom line numbers?
This is a process. I mean, today this business is break even. Our target is to get to high single-digit EBIT margins 5 years from now and at the same time increase the revenues through this shift into specialty business. So we will gradually start to see it, but it will not be in the first year of consolidation.
And perhaps just finally, on the price trajectory and profits, can you give us a sense of how you see 2016 playing out?
Well, you see a lot of seasonal influences on phosphate prices. You already see today that when the season starts to kick in, you're starting to see a recovery in prices. We think this recovery will continue. India is the question, because I think that demand in India and how it will develop this year, and a lot depends on how it would be the monsoon season, will determine whether on average the commodity phosphate prices could be similar to 2015.
If there's no further questions, I think we can stop there. Thanks a lot, Lima.
Thank you.
Thanks.